Good morning. Welcome to Redemption Life Fellowship here on this Sunday before the end of this year and the start of the new year. I'm Sam, one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to open God's Word today. And on any given Sunday, we walk through books of the Bible and portions of Scripture to find their meaning and application for our lives. And before Christmas or the Christmas season, we were in the book of Hebrews. And we'll jump back into that study here in a few weeks. But today we're going to continue with our Christmas series for the year. And so if you can take your copy of the scriptures and turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading there at verse number 22 and here in just a few minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you're accustomed to anticipate events in life. I think we can do that for things that are large and things that are small. We can do that for weekly occurrences or yearly holidays or even once in a lifetime events. And it's events where we gaze into the future and we reserve joy and anticipation and happiness for those events. And I think one of those most significant yearly events we do that for is Christmas. And it's a feeling of anticipation that the wonder of Christmas can outdo last year's season, and we all feel that. Kids spend the day after Christmas until the next one, building anticipation, hoping that the next Christmas will be, as what we've heard people say before, the best Christmas ever, right? And so somehow we're supposed to top what happened last year. And I think we've been doing that for a long time in America. But the problem is that we take those events and we build ourselves up into somewhat of a frenzy and give ourselves some hope and anticipation of something that happens every year and hoping that it would be better. And when I think of life events, I think of the year we become teenagers. And I didn't have this in my list earlier, but I think one that really sticks out for kids is when they get their cell phone. You know, that's a big event. But when we become teenagers, that's an event in our life. Then it's a driver's license, it's graduation, and then there's college. And then at some point, you hope to find someone that you can share your life with, and then you get married, and you plan that big day, and you have that wedding day. And then you start thinking about kids. So you have your kids' birth, and there are big accomplishments and the events that they go through in life. And then there's retirement. And well, it's all downhill from there, right? I mean, most of us, you know, we wonder what's going to happen next. And you know, we know what happens next after retirement, and you start looking at the back end of your life. But when I think of all these things, there's a term or a phrase that always pops into my mind, and it's a play on words that shows how much energy and anticipation we all feel for all of these events that we build up in our hearts and our minds. And, you know, kids feel the emotions of this phrase, and adults do as well. And it's the phrase that we probably all have become accustomed to. It's the phrase, I've waited for this all of my life. How many of you have used that term before? Like when you're facing an event or something that you're really looking forward to, I've waited for this all of my life. Now, I know we don't mean that we've actually waited all of our lives for this, but it's a way that we've tried to explain our excitement about the event that we're looking forward to. And when we experience that event, we use that term and that phrase. But we've really built ourselves up for whatever that event is, whatever it might be. But the good news is that God has created all of us to feel emotions, to feel happiness, to feel joy around the events or accomplishments of our lives. And that's good. That's a gift from God. But the flip side is this, and this is in the form of a question. How do we feel when the fleeting moment of that event in your life begins to fade? Like when becoming a teenager becomes more of a responsibility, or getting your license means you have to get a job to work to pay for that car or that insurance, or there's less time to do what you want, and graduating high school means you have to become an adult. You have to do that adulting thing, you know. And things are not as easy as they were when you lived under your parents and you got to do whatever you wanted to do sometimes. And what does it look like when you're working that job and it's not as fulfilling as you thought it would be? Then there's marriage. That big day has come and gone and the honeymoon is fading, and now those two imperfect people are in it for better or for worse, but it's inevitable. Conflict happens. And then you throw a baby into the mix who won't sleep at night. Then you got terrible twos, and you got teenagers with attitudes and drama, and I'm in that space right now. And then you can throw in your finances, whether your finances aren't that great, or you have a lot of finances and you're having to work a whole lot to keep up with them. Then you have aging parents, or even the loss of parents. So then you take all that together, and now it's your health. And before you know it, you're looking at the backside of life, wondering how much time you have left on this earth. And I say all that to say this, and we all know this to be true, excitement wears off. You know, you could take that in consideration when you give your kid, or your kid gets a toy for Christmas, or you get some new gadget, and within a couple weeks, like, it starts to wane, right? And my kids, when they were younger, they would get Christmas presents and they would start playing with the boxes a couple weeks later. You know, I mean, that's just how it works. But see, excitement wears off, and that happens. And we can find discontentment in life. And discontentment happens when we live our lives hoping for happiness in a temporary world. And see, what if I told you, though, that there was a man who waited all of his life and experienced what he had waited for, and when he experienced that event, it fulfilled his soul? And what if I told you today that you could experience the same fulfillment, even though fulfillment right now in this moment in which you live seems out of reach? And with that in mind, let's go to Luke chapter number 2, and we'll start with verse number 22. Now, this passage is coming right after what we would call the Christmas story, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. So you have to keep in mind that it's talking about Joseph and Mary and Jesus and our character that we're going to talk about today in history. So Luke 2:22 begins reading like this. And when the time came for their purification, that's Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now are you letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'll help us to be sensitive to the Spirit as we hear what your word has to say about our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you know the events that are preceding this reading. It's the Christmas story. And on the heels of that story, there is this need for Jesus and his parents to follow the law a sacrifice had to be made. It's two turtle doves. And all of us have heard the song 12 Days of Christmas. That's where that comes from, about the two turtle doves for the sacrifice. And the firstborn was to be set apart according to the law. And we know that the story's main character is Jesus, but an interesting character enters into the Christmas story here in Luke chapter number 2, and it's a man named Simeon. And we need to look at what the scripture has to say about this man, because he's not just in there as a happenstance or just happened to be there. We don't know from this passage how old Simeon is or know much about his life, but we do know. And what we do know is what God wanted us to know about him, and it's very specific. This passage tells us that Simeon was a righteous man and a devout man. And God wouldn't have allowed this to be written about Simeon unless Simeon genuinely believed in God. It's a belief of faith, a faith that affected the way he operated his life. He was devoted to God. And the scripture says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. Now, here's a big descriptive note about Simeon. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's a big thing for us to remember, because it's a significant marker of Simeon's life. And verse number 26 starts telling the backstory behind Simeon's trust and belief in God. Verse 26 says that the Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. That's the event for Simeon, the events that we were talking about a minute ago that mark our lives, that we build ourselves up for. This is Simeon's event. And see, that's the moment that Simeon is waiting for. And could you imagine knowing the event that would be the marker to let you know that your death would be soon? You talk about anticipation there. I mean, we all would anticipate that marker. We would be looking every day. I'm like, could this mean that this could be the day that I was going to see death? I was going to die? I mean, see, Simeon's anticipation was, yes, it was for seeing the Messiah. And as we'll see, it wasn't just about that. Simeon's anticipation was about what the Messiah would do, not just him physically seeing and meeting the Messiah. Now, for a moment, we have to consider a couple things. We need to consider living and believing in the way that Simeon did in the current culture. See, the majority of the people of Israel were not actively looking for Jesus' birth to be as it was. And see, there was almost a disregard for the Old Testament prophecies that foretold how Jesus came. And as David Whitaker spoke a few weeks ago about the Magi that came to see Jesus, they were from Near Eastern origin, following a star. And the truth is, they most likely were probably from the area of Babylon. You know, and also Simeon lived in a day that is much like ours. It was a day of despair. It was a day of oppression and a day of uncertainty. And see, the people of Israel felt no hope of ever escaping captivity or the Roman rule. And the only way that they could see any hope for in their lives was for a significant political change to happen. See, they hoped to get a king and not a savior. They hoped to get a king and not a baby. And see, that's not much different than the way we see 24 and 2025 happening. See, we're seeing the same vibe in our day as they saw then. There's hope in political change, that our lives could somewhat change that way. And if we're all honest, just as they felt back then, we all feel some despair and uncertainty about what might happen in our lives and what's happening around us. See, and in all of that, we can tend to begin to lean on temporary things to bring us some hope and certainty. And see, Simeon was different in his day. And it is here in the Christmas story for a specific reason. And we'll see that in a few moments. Now, if you look at verse 27, it says that Simeon was led by the Spirit into the temple. And it doesn't say how long he was in the temple, but he entered into it before Joseph and Mary did. And the Spirit had him in the right place at the right time to make that revelation of him seeing the Messiah happen. Now, Simeon, he was there when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple. I've got a picture of this for you to kind of get in your mind. And when they came in the temple, he immediately picked up Jesus. This thing that he had anticipated and hoped for was coming to pass. And as he picked up Jesus, he began to string together a list of Old Testament prophecies, and he blessed God. And in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 29, you'll begin to read these verses there. If you look there, it says this: Lord, this is Simeon talking, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And as we'll see in a moment, Simeon was not just looking for a king Messiah, a Messiah that would be king, but he was looking for a Savior, one who would bring salvation. His eyes had seen the salvation of all people. And this hope transcended the despair of the present day, a hope of a Savior. Now, verse 33 says that Joseph and Mary marveled at all that was said about Jesus. But Simeon wasn't done yet. Simeon blessed them and continued to preach a gospel that was yet to come to pass. And it's a fantastic statement. If you look in verse number 34, the scripture says this: And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And this is he speaking to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts might be revealed. See, this child is appointed for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. See, Jesus will be a stumbling block, and he will be opposed. He will fall at the hands of his people and rise again so there might be a way to redeem them. See, Jesus is set for a downfall. Jesus will suffer a fall to save people from the fall and rise to bring life to those who would oppose him. See, Jesus would face opposition. He will face torture and turmoil. He'll be hated and killed. And Mary, as his mother, will feel the pain of experiencing all that will be done to him. See, Simeon doesn't stop there, though, because he gives the reason for all of this. There's a reason for Jesus dying. There's a reason for him rising again. There's a reason for him being a Savior. There's a reason for him living on this earth leading up to the cross. And the reason for that is this: so that the hearts of many might be revealed. See, Simeon just now revealed the end goal of the gospel. Isn't that remarkable? See, everything this child will endure all the way through to his resurrection, that's all done to expose the hearts of people so that the hearts of men and women, boys and girls throughout the ages would be able to experience a change of heart. See, that reveals how much Simeon knew about what he was waiting for and what was to come. See, it was a hope that would carry him and led him to experience the wonder of Jesus. See, Simeon waited all of his life, but what he waited for wouldn't fade. It was just the beginning. It was hope and anticipation. Well, the big question for us is, what did Simeon hold on to in a world filled with despair and uncertainty that would help him continue a a life devoted to the one that he was waiting for. And once he met the one he was waiting for, to look forward to what was promised to him. See, Simeon leaned on the two dependable and constant things that he had, and we also have those things. And what Simeon was looking forward to, and what he had, is he had a truth that was already revealed to him. See, it was a promise of a Savior who would be given, and the promised hope of his arrival. But he also had the guiding of the Spirit. And see, the Spirit who revealed this to him, as Simeon walked with the Spirit and lived a life in the Spirit, he enjoyed the empowering of the Spirit, and that Spirit energized the truth, which built an anticipation of what God had already revealed to him. And see, the truth is, the world in Simeon's day may have been in despair, but Simeon enjoyed the truth and the reality of the coming kingdom as he depended on the Spirit to lead him into that reality. Now, the big question is, in 2024 and soon to be 2025, how does all that help us? How does the story of Simeon help us with the fading excitement we all feel with the events of this life right now? The emotion of how things feel when they find their finality, and then the brokenness of life sets in. See, how do we get an answer to the question I posed at the start of the sermon? How can we experience fulfillment in this temporary life, even though it seems out of reach? See, the answer is this, and it's the same answer that Simeon had. We lean on the only consistent things we have in life as God's people. We have to lean into, number one, the truth that is already revealed to us. And here's just two of those truths. We have a Savior already given on the cross who has died, has been buried, and he's risen again. He's already been given. And we have to live in the promised hope of his return. And another thing about that is that we have to lean into the Word of God that is readily available. It's already revealed truth that's already been given to us. That's a consistent thing. And the second thing we have to lean into, just as Simeon did, we have to lean into the guiding of the Spirit. Because the Spirit empowers and energizes the truth of God's Word and helps build anticipation of what God has already revealed to us. What God has already promised to us. What God has already given to us that we can hold on to. And it builds anticipation and hope. And see, this world might be in despair, but all of us in this room can enjoy the truth of the already here, because the Spirit lives within our hearts, but not yet full reality of the coming kingdom. And you might say to me, that's it? That's the answer to all the problems and all the fading excitement of the events that have happened in my life? That's the answer to my marriage not going great? Or my kids aren't living up to what I thought they would live up to, or my job is terrible? Yeah, that's the answer. And before you turn me off, listen to me for a moment. Here's a question for you, if you're asking that question. What or who, as a believer, can we turn to when everything we've anticipated in life falls apart? See, I also know the question that follows that, because I've been there and I've asked this question before of myself. I've asked God this question before, and I've asked other people this question before. So I'm not saying this like I've not experienced this. And here's the question that follows that. If God were fair, Or God, if you were fair, if you want to turn it that way, why hasn't the marriage I intended to have, the job I wanted, the kids I do or don't have, the house, the car, the career I wanted, why haven't they turned out to be as glorious as I have hoped? And see, here's the truth. The brokenness of sin taints all those things that we want to blame on God for the outcomes. See, our plans can be blown up, and our marriages can have problems, and our kids can disappoint us, and our jobs can, and all those things that we plan for in life and all those events can be blown up because broken people can influence all of those things. And if we want to be honest with ourselves, each and every one of us are right in the middle of all those broken things and events that let us down, because we tend to place our happiness and our joy in the frailty of this life and trying to find contentment in events where the excitement will always fade away. So now that we've said all that, we need to see how the two constant things Simeon leaned on brought a healthy anticipation that emboldened a hope that did not fade with time. And if you haven't figured this out yet, I'm talking to us as believers today. Because we're the ones that can tend to put a lot of hope and a lot of joy and anticipation in things that aren't Jesus. See, we live in a reality of what some would call the nasty now and now, right? It's not all sunshine and roses, and we're not living in the sweet by and by yet, right? So here's some things you can take with you, and these are some things that we can lean on today. See, we can experience or see Jesus every moment of every day. Anticipate him through the work of the Spirit. See, here's the truth. The same God that Simeon was trusting in, and the same Spirit that was upon Simeon, is living inside of all of us who know Jesus. I know that's not like rocket science for some of you, but we need to be reminded of that. That the same Spirit that led Simeon is the same Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of us. It's a life of anticipation that doesn't fade. And let me say this today, the Spirit's real. He's real. He's not just a byproduct. And see, just think, we have the Holy Spirit living in all of us who are followers of Jesus. And can you imagine the life that Simeon lived in anticipation, living in the Spirit, being in tune with the Spirit? And can you imagine living a life like that in 2024? Being so in tune with the Spirit that we can see and experience Jesus' work every day and in every moment of every day. The Spirit's that real. You can have that kind of relationship, and it's not some fairy tale. And see, I'm not talking about some out there fanciful extra biblical things, but a tangible experience of the work of the Spirit, a relationship that has evidence in your life and contentment. And see, I know many of us have been accustomed to having a rigid interaction with the Spirit, but when we deduce the Spirit down to a byproduct, we fail to realize the importance of him and how much we really need his work in our lives. And see, without the Spirit's work, we can't continue to hold fast to the hope that is revealed to us in Scripture. The leading of the Spirit and dependency on him emboldens the truth of that hope, and that gives us hope that Jesus is not just going to work in the future, but he's working now to offer hope in the middle of our brokenness. And he's coming back to fix all the brokenness of this world. So we can experience or see Jesus just as Simeon did in every moment of our lives as we anticipate his work through the work of the Spirit. The second thing is this. As we depend on the Spirit daily, we can experience or see Jesus through the work and wonder of Scripture. We have God's revealed word to us in a book called the Bible. And it's a word that is living and active. We need to anticipate its work. We need to depend upon it. We need to let it in and inform the broken parts of our lives. Let it give us hope in our hopelessness. Treat this word as a friend. After all, it's the written form of the one who loves us more than anyone else could ever love us in this world. It's more faithful than the fading feeling of the events of this life. Number three, we are right now, get this, we are right now in this moment experiencing or seeing Jesus. We're seeing him through the reality of the gospel at work, and we should anticipate the Spirit's work. See, the revealing of the hearts of people is happening right now as we speak. You realize that? Not just in the hearts of others or lost people, but right now as I'm speaking from God's word today, from his word that's revealed to us, the revealing of hearts is happening. It's happening in my heart, to be honest with you, as I'm preaching this. You know, what's being said is the Spirit's working in my heart. He's worked through this week, but right now he's working in my heart. And he's working in yours as well. And we're all in a dialogue as we process what is being revealed in the sermon from God's word. And the Spirit is digging up the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And see, that's the goal of the gospel. It's the end goal. And see, we're all in this place right now of dialogue with the Spirit and the word. And there's personal admissions that begin to arise from this. And here's some of the stuff that I've worked through as I've sat through sermons throughout the years, and I'm reading God's word, and I'm talking to God, and I'm like, yeah, I'm struggling in my heart with that. The Spirit reveals that to us, or I get it. I see what you're saying, or we're dialoguing with the Spirit, or yeah, you're right. I'm not believing as I should, or I have not seen that thing about myself, and I'm trying to find contentment outside of Jesus. See, that's all things that I have dialogued with Jesus about and with the Spirit about as I've heard sermons or read his word. See, the Spirit is at work revealing the thoughts and intentions of the heart of people, because that's the goal of the gospel of Jesus. And it's happening right now as we speak. And the Spirit working along with the revealed truth that we have, and we does this, we can read in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, where it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." And as we read God's word, and as we hear it proclaimed, and as we hear it preached, the Spirit is in a dialogue with us, digging up the thoughts that we maybe didn't think we had, or the intentions in our hearts that we never even saw before. We can lean into that today because the gospel is at work. We can lean into that today because it's not just at work in other people's lives, but it's working in my heart right now and your heart. See, the gospel was not just a get out of hell free card, as many people have said, or a trip to paradise voucher for you to go to heaven one day. The gospel of Jesus was to reveal the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, and Jesus spent his ministry on earth doing the same, and it's still happening now. The gospel of Jesus reveals our thoughts and intentions, revealing the things that none of us could ever see on our own. And the death and resurrection of Jesus and the work of the Spirit make way for the written word to pierce through our souls and make us aware of how much we fall short and how much we need Jesus every moment of every day. So we must experience or see Jesus through the reality of the gospel at work and anticipate the Spirit's work in revealing our hearts. And here's the last thing I would say to you for this. We can live daily anticipating that we might see or experience Jesus face to face today. See, it's not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. It's a part of God's redemption story. And we've all been given promises we can lean on from God's word. And we can trust that God's word is true because the Spirit builds anticipation for what we can see in the future. And that's Jesus is coming again. So what's the answer to all this? See, we all feel the sting of the fading excitement of anticipating events in life, the emotion of how things feel when things find their finality, and then the brokenness of life sets in. How do we get an answer to the question again that I posed at the beginning of the sermon? How can we experience fulfillment in this temporary life, even though it seems out of reach? And I have some application questions for you to take with you today. And you can ponder these and engage the Spirit with these questions throughout the week. Number one, what am I waiting for in life, in my life? What am I waiting for in my life? And how might it reflect my hopes or expectations? See, the gospel reminds us that our deepest longings can only be fulfilled in Jesus. Not in the fleeting excitement of life's temporary milestones. And see, Simeon waited his entire life for the Messiah. And when he encountered Jesus, he found a peace that surpassed all else. And in the same way today, we find true contentment when we focus on Jesus as our ultimate hope and source of joy rather than temporary or worldly goals. Second question for you to ponder is this. How do I respond when the excitement of a significant life event fades? When life's milestones lose their luster, the gospel teaches us to turn to Jesus for lasting fulfillment. And see, Simeon's joy didn't wane because his hope wasn't in the moment, but was in Jesus' person and his work. And we can lean on the word and the Spirit that empowers us to find joy in Jesus that doesn't diminish with time or circumstances. The third question is this. How does my daily life reflect an anticipation of Jesus' work and presence? See, Simeon lived a life of faithful anticipation, guided by the Spirit, actively waiting for the Messiah. And we can live in eager expectation by depending on the Spirit daily and engaging with Scripture. And the Spirit lets us see Jesus at work in our lives while the Word of God keeps our hearts anchored in that truth. Here's a fourth question for you to take with you. How does the gospel reveal the intentions and thoughts of my heart? The gospel does this. It shines a light into our hearts, exposing where we might seek fulfillment outside of Jesus. And here's the last question. In what ways does my hope in Jesus transform my experience of life's brokenness? In what ways does my hope in Jesus transform my experience in life's brokenness? See, Simeon, like us, lived in a time of despair and uncertainty. And yet his hope in the Messiah gave him peace and purpose. And today, the gospel transforms our perspectives on life, and it should. And it challenges us by reminding us of Jesus' redemptive work, that his death His resurrection assure all of us he is making all things new in our lives, and his Spirit gives us strength to endure, to find joy and experience his presence even in the midst of brokenness. See, all these questions should point us back to one simple and central answer, and that's Jesus. See, Simeon's hope was in Jesus. Simeon lived a life of expectation that a Savior would come. And when he met that, he knew he met the answer. He was looking for salvation, and he knew he met the answer for that. And see, for all of us, Jesus should be our source of lasting hope, joy, and contentment. And by leaning into the revealed truth of Scripture and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we can live lives of faithful anticipation, and we can experience the fulfillment that only comes through Jesus. It's a life that is lived in the wonder of experiencing Jesus and being in him, leaning on his word and the Spirit to empower us. So the big question is, what do we do when the excitement fades? We waited all of our lives for something, and it is not as glorious as we thought. You know what we do? Lean on God's word. Lean on the Spirit. And place our hope and our trust in the only one who can bring us joy and completion, and that's Jesus. That's a simple answer, but it's a powerful answer, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you that you transcend time and space and that your word does the same. Thank you that we have this Spirit that lives within us that transcends time and space. And that you're the same God that led Simeon. You're the same God that encouraged Simeon. You're the same God that revealed truth to Simeon. You're the same God that led him to that event that would complete his life, meeting Jesus. And Lord, we thank you today that we have the same word, revealed truth before us in your word. We have the same Spirit living within us. We have the same Jesus that has saved us. We have you as our Heavenly Father who loves us more than we could ever be loved by anyone in this world, who does great and mighty things, and you've done wondrous works in the past through your Spirit, and you can do that now. You're the same God. Help us to lean on your word, that is your truth. Help us to lean on the Spirit for in every moment of our lives, every day of our lives, so we might be able to experience the wonder of the work of Jesus, not just in our lives, but in the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.